cloth-wrapped hands curled around the shaft of an ancient Gaddafi. A Yark inserted the trang, the curved end of the weapon, into the door handle. The metal door creaked open. Inside, a quivering trio of humans huddled amid spare parts for the thirst machines. A black-haired woman clutched a swaddled infant, while a brown-haired male held them both. He also held a blaster pistol. It was the owner of the busted rifle, and Ayar could tell he was missing the weapon now. Swallowing his fear, the young man looked right into Ayark's good eye.
You! Go! We're not afraid!
Settlers lie!
Ayark said, the strange words startling the humans almost as much as they startled the other Tuscans.
Settler lies.
8 Gaddafi lifted to the sky, their spear points glinting in the morning light. Ayark knew some would land true, and the old sky brother above would see again what real bravery was.
The
sound echoed over the horizon. As one, the war party looked north. The sound came again, louder this time. Its meaning was unmistakable. The youngest Tuscan in the party said it first. Great dragon. The warrior child spun and stumbled over his own booted feet, landing mouthpiece first in the sand. The others looked to Ayark, who turned back toward the hut. The war leader had seen enough human faces to read expressions, but even to a seasoned marauder, the visages were startling. The farmer and his wife didn't just appear relieved, they looked defiant. In the presence of a krait, the greatest predator Tatooine knew, after the Tuscans? Yes, Ayark saw. And that wasn't all. The young mother was clutching something beside the baby in her free hand. Ayark barked a command to the warriors, but it was too late. With the horrific sound in the air, none would stand. The two looters from earlier nearly trampled the fallen youth as they darted away, trying to remember where they'd set their stolen goods. The others clutched their Gaddafi to their chests and fled behind the main hut.
Wrong! Wrong! That wasn't what Ayark had taught them. Not at all!
But they scattered before they even knew where the dragon was, leaving their leader alone with the settlers. The young farmer kept his blaster pointed at Ayark but did not fire. Perhaps he'd calculated the risk, deciding the unfired weapon was more of a deterrent than a shot by a shaky hand. It didn't matter. If the settlers had hoped for a distraction, they had gotten one. Ayark snorted and stepped backward, tan robe swirling. The warriors were running this way and that. Ayark yelled, but no one could be heard over the din. There was something unnatural about the sound, but what? No one would pretend to be a krait dragon. If any could, it would never sound so mechanical. No mistaking that, Ayark thought. The moan of the dragon had resolved itself into a head-splitting shrill far beyond the capacity of any lungs. It was coming loudest from a new source, immediately apparent. A horn attached to one of the silver spires in the middle of the farm. And there were similar sounds emanating from over the hills to the north and east. Ayark stood in the middle of the yard, Gaddafi raised aloft.
Pradora! Pradora! Pradora!
Fake!
The young looters appeared again, running over a crest back toward the farm. Ayark exhaled through rotten teeth. At least someone had heard over the racket. Now at least maybe they could blaster fire. An orange blaze enveloped one of the runners from behind. The other turned in panic, only to be incinerated as well. Ayark crouched instinctively, seeking cover behind the accursed vaporator.
Wahoo!
A metallic wave, copper and green, swept over the dune. The Yawk recognized it right away. It was the land speeder that had haunted them before at the Toll Rock. And now, as then, several settler youths clustered in its open interior, hooting and firing wildly. A Yawk darted behind a second vaporator, suddenly more confident. There was no dragon, only settlers. The Tuskens could be rallied against them if they stood true. But they weren't standing. One fled toward the nothingness of the east, and a Yawk could see two more land speeders racing after him. And the clumsy young warrior, who had barely survived the rites of adulthood days before, hid behind the hut, clutching at the sands in cowardice. Only the sons knew where the others had gone. No good. The first speeder circled the settlement, its riders showering fire on nothing in particular. And now, another hovercraft arrived. Fancier, with sloping curves. The silver vehicle carried two humans in an open compartment, protected by a windshield. A grim, hairy-faced human steered the vessel as his older passenger stood brazenly up in his seat. A Yark had seen the passenger before at a greater distance. Clean-shaven, older than most Tuskens ever got, and always wearing the same senseless expression. The smiling one.
"More to the south, folks!"
the standing human said, macro binoculars in hand.
"Keep after 'em!"
The Yark didn't need to know all of the words. The meaning was clear. The missing warriors weren't nearby, ready to strike. The band, routed, had taken flight. Seeing the tall human's land speeder, the cowering young Tuscan from earlier squealed and stood. Leaving his Gaderfi on the ground, he bolted.
"Urak!"
a Yark yelled.
"Wait!"
Too late. Another land speeder banked, and the hollering riders aboard chopped the fleeing sand person down with blast after blast. Not 6 days a warrior, and dead in seconds. This was too much. A Yawk rose, weapon in hand, and dashed behind the hut. Away from where the laughing settlers, aware only of their killing, could see. Ragged fabric flew as the warrior tumbled over a dune into a dusty ravine. Another dune followed, and another. At last, a Yawk fell to the ground, gasping. Three had been lost, maybe more. And the Sand People couldn't afford to lose anyone. Worse, they